Jazz here, and I am so digging the GeekCast Radio Network.
I, Starscream, have nominated myself official toy reviewer for BotCon exclusive toys. And as though I'd have to prove my greatness to you little flesh creatures that populate the internet, I have obtained one of the toys from BotCon. Through a mutual agreement I have reached with BotCon headquarters, I will be the first to reveal a BotCon 2012 convention exclusive toy. You all know about BotCon, right? The official Transformers Collectors Convention? This year, BotCon 2012 is being held at the Hyatt Regency in Dallas, Texas, from April 26th to the 29th. Transformers fans from all around the world will be there. There will be so much to do. From panels to meeting celebrity guests. A huge exhibitor hall with thousands of Transformers toys for sale. A film fest. Art contest. Activities for kids. And Hasbro will be on hand to showcase all of their 2012 toy offerings. Anyone can come as either a registered guest or as a walk-in on Saturday and Sunday. Anyway, the thing I look forward to is the exclusive BotCon Transformers toys any attendee can purchase. So, without further ado, yes, here, the first BotCon 2012 exclusive is...
Starscream, what are you up to now?
Nothing, Mighty Megatron. I was just fixing this panel here for, it's nothing. Nothing to be concerned with, Mighty Megatron.
Me welcome you to Me Grimlock Toy Review. Me Grimlock love BotCon exclusives. Oh, my toy hit my nose.
No! My exclusive! Well, at least I can start planning my next cosplay.
Hello and welcome to the GeekCast Radio Network's Con Girl. This time around we have two Con Girls as they both went to BotCon 2012. I am of course your host, TFG1 Mike, and joining me is Callie Carrie Shoka. Hello.
Hi.
And Mirai Baby is here, but she'll be back in a little while. We also have a very special limited edition guest in Mr. Derek J. Wyatt from Transformers Animated, Teen Titans, and Ben 10 fame. Hello, sir.
No lady. What am I doing here?
Well, we had to even it out.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
What? He's a limited edition guest. Like, there's several of him mint and packaged somewhere.
Well.
This is the extra jet lag variant.
There you go. There you go. Today we are going to be talking about the GoBotic... BotCon 2012, the official Transformers convention. And essentially, for those that don't know, what the Con Girl segment of GeekCast Radio Network is to essentially get Mirai's... Mirai is really the one that is doing it with me as far as the podcast episodes go. Because she's going to multiple conventions over the year.
Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. And so that's how it all started, but I figured why not just have a big old Transformers party tonight. Hello, Mirai. How are you?
Hi. I am very stressed out and insanely tired, but I'm okay.
Now, just to make everybody clear, I did not force anyone into this podcast. I asked everyone, I said, would you like to do this tonight? Or do we want to do it at some other point in time? And they all said, sure, we can do it tonight.
I don't remember him saying that.
Well, coming from my end, I'm going into an army family. I didn't know that this was going to be so stressful and convoluted. So there's a lot of things to remember. And I have to drive for 10 and a half hours in like 7 hours. So,
yes. So I think the way that we're going to break this up here on this episode of Con Girl is we're going to take the entire weekend and break it up into the 3 or 4 days that the main part of the convention is going on, which I believe is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the most part. We'll have each of Callie and Mariah, you know, talk about their trips to get to Texas. You know, Derek will talk about his experience of being a guest at the con. And we'll just do it like that. So, Derek, how did they, what was the whole plan, for you doing your panel this year? How did that really come about? It was like, what was their idea of having you do a panel this year?
It was kind of just, I guess a follow up, catch up a year later after the StunnaCon job and Pete asked me if I'd be interested in doing one, and I said sure. You know, I brought those the Transformers animated shorts, and I played those, which, you know, a lot of people haven't seen all of them, so that was fun.
Right. I want to start in New York or California first. I think I'll start in New York first. Kelly, how did your trip from New York to Dallas go?
I took a nonstop flight on the cheapest airline imaginable for 3 hours next to a baby.
Oh, no.
Wow. I was stopped by airport security twice, frisked down once, and the woman sitting next to me on the other side on the airplane congratulated me for doing so well as an unaccompanied minor.
As an unaccompanied minor?
The trip there was not one of the better flights I've been on.
Wow. Flying just sucks now. I haven't had a good flight unless I'm like being flown business class by my company, you know, overseas or something. It's just terrible. I had a really bad experience too.
I had the middle seat on the cheapest airline I could
imagine. Yeah, but you don't take up any room.
She really doesn't.
Yeah, she's like publicized. You put her right in the middle of the seat.
That kind of goes back to something we talked about a while ago, and I think it was somehow we got on the subject of Halloween costumes, and I don't know where it was said. It was either said on Twitter or Skype or somewhere where people are like, Kelly was like, do people just think I'm, you know, a larger size version of a Puggle, like an actual, you know, a life-size version of a Puggle former? Well,
to be fair, or maybe unfair, I don't know how you're going to look at it. Most of the people who looked at Callie went, you're the Pogo lady, aren't you? Like, without even knowing who she is, you're the girl that makes the Pogos, right?
You should have seen her line. I guess we shouldn't get into this yet, huh? We want to talk about the truth.
Not yet.
She's famous. We'll get into that a little bit.
Mariah, how was your trip from San Diego?
I very unfortunately booked on U.S. We don't know what the fuck we're doing airways. So I actually, we got sat up in the airplane in San Diego. We're going to put your seatbelt on and turn your phone off. And okay, now we're going to go through the safety spiel, and they pull away from the gate. And we sit there for 20 minutes. And we try to figure out what's going on, and the captain is just like, yeah, we can't get air to the engines. Oh, so God. We're going to pull back up to the gate and see if we can't get us started. So they pulled us back up, and we sat there for another 20 minutes.
Good Lord.
Eventually, we managed to get off. They actually made fairly good headway, and I still made my next flight with very little problem.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know. You and your horror stories about going home. But... Phoenix was cool. It was all of like 87 degrees in frickin' Phoenix. But I didn't, you know, I didn't ever leave the airport.
Well, I don't know, because we never made it to Phoenix.
Look at it this way. It's better that they couldn't get the plane engine started then than it suddenly stopped working while you're 10,000 feet in the air.
But the state of the American airline industry, like, I mean, I'm going to get totally political now. It's terrible. Like, it's awful. The only people who had good flights were people who took Virgin US, I guess.
Virgin US, and JetBlue, from what I heard, were fantastic. Most people I had talked to coming to BotCon had terrible times in any flight you talked to. It was just
It's one like those
debacle after another. It was terrible.
The old standard airlines are just, they just don't give a crap about us anymore. It's crazy.
They really don't. Unfortunately, I was also stuck on, I don't know, a plane that was made in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it was very old and decrepit and disgusting. And at one point in the middle of a flight, luckily it didn't hit me. one of the overhead compartments popped open and someone's luggage plopped out in front of the person in front of me.
Awesome.
Didn't actually hit anyone, but it scared the shit out of the entire compartment. We were all just oh my God.
They're supposed to check that before they take off, too. That's good.
Oh, they did, but it popped out anyway. And the lady sitting next to me had her tray table fall on top of her head. Because she was kind of leaning forward because she was like dozing and listening to her music, and it just smacked her on the back of the head. And
that's a lawsuit.
I had to turn to the window and cover my mouth to avoid her seeing me laughing at her.
That's a lawsuit, though. If she was injured in any way, that's a lawsuit.
It is. Hey, plushies. Sorry, I'm unpacking.
Did you hear Maggie's story about like when we were going from Dallas Love to Houston, the air conditioner was out. So
what?
Yeah, it's like, well,
on the plane. What?
Yeah, they're like, well, the plane's not quite as full as the last plane, so maybe it won't be so hot. But leave all your shades down. And of course, like there's like 15 people in the plane who aren't listening at all and never put their shades down. So like we were sitting there waiting to take off. It was so hot. Like once we got into the air, it was better.
Yeah.
God, it's ridiculous.
So when did you arrive, Derek? Was it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday?
We got there Wednesday night.
Okay. What about you, Callie?
Full trip, but
I got there Thursday afternoon-ish.
And you got there Thursday morning, right, Mariah?
No. I landed in DFW right about 1:20 in the afternoon. Jazz's legs popped off. There we go.
Put the back on.
No, his arm is missing. little Creon Jazz rode home in my checked baggage. So now his tiny little white arm is floating in here somewhere.
I always take a toy with me too on the plane.
I ended up taking Prime Knockout, but he never actually came out of my backpack. So
was it the deluxe size one or the little bitty one?
The deluxe, the little bitty one for him isn't out yet.
What?
The Cyberverse Knockout, it's not out yet.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
The little tiny itty bitty dinky winky ones, no. The deluxe one I have.
So
on that kind of tangent, actually, because everybody else was, oh my God, we're going to BotCon on Wednesday, and I was just like, I'm fucking bored. So I got together with Twitter dude Emerald Beacon, and we made little mystery surprises for BotCon that we will talk about later.
Cool.
Oh no, we won't talk about that later. I'm sorry. Well, maybe if I remember. maybe if I remember. I don't know.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And we decided, let's just go hit up a Target. I haven't been lucky yet, and ended up we hit up this Target that had two knockouts, two hot shots, but no Viacons. So I wasn't able to get the Viacon, but I bought them out of knockouts.
Hotshot's not a show character, is it?
No, not yet.
No, Hotshot is just a repaint of Bumblebee.
It looks weird. Isn't it blue and stuff? I don't get there. Yeah. What was that? What was that? Was it Dead End that was like orange and green and black?
Yeah.
What's that in reference to? I didn't understand that.
I don't have any clue, actually.
Okay, no, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No clue. I think those color schemes look great on that vehicle mode, but that robot mode of Dead End is just fugly. Hmm. All right. So was Thursday night pickup night for you guys?
Yes.
So how did that go?
It's not a problem for me, so I don't know if you should ask them.
Right. I was asking them.
Mr. Guest Dude. Callie, want to go first?
Callie, how did pickup night Go.
And line separated alphabetically by your last name. So if your last name, like A to J or whatever the hell, just by your last name. So you got online, and that was it. They had it very orderly. The lines weren't that long. It was pretty good. I accidentally got on the wrong line because exhibitors and dealer room people were supposed to go to different lines. So I waited on my line, and then I felt like an idiot, and then they were like, it's okay here. We have your stuff anyway. And Pete was like, hey, get on the other line. Pete got to the front of the correct line to get my stuff.
I did hear from the TFW guys, they said it was a lot better than Pasadena. They seemed to think Pasadena was like...
It was man-fucking-tastic.
Was it really?
Oh, it was. Pasadena was a hellhole, and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
Because it was like, there was nothing, I don't know what happened in Pasadena, but like let's see, from last year, because I was in a wheelchair, so I got that quote... preferential treatment or whatever. So I got to go in an hour early before what was on my time card, mm-hmm. which was 6 o'clock. Like we got to go in at 6 o'clock. I did with one other person. By 8 o'clock, when all the rest of my friends were filing in with their times, we were still sitting in the same exact spot. We never moved. Like for 2 hours, we never moved. I was just like, okay, this is stupid. I don't get what's happening. But this time, oh my God, I had the time of my damn life, because the second I got in there, I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my God, there's a really long line. And then I realized that was the line right next to my line. My line was 10 people short. And I lifted my arms up in the air and kind of squealed as I ran down the line and going, oh my God, this is really short. Stood in line for all of like 10 minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes, got my box, I was out. Fantastic.
How many guys this year with that?
They must have broken up the lines in a different way than they did last year, because usually the I through L line, which is mine because my last name is J, mm-hmm. my last name starts with a J, so that's just usually that line is really long, but it's not, which I was totally damn pleased with because it was just in out, boom, and done. Unfortunately, the exclusives line is a totally different story.
For you, maybe.
Well, unfortunately, little Miss Callie here hadn't eaten anything since she left New York. Is that right?
What? Repeat that.
When was the last time you ate on Thursday before you got to Dallas? Whatever.
On Thursday, I got there pretty late, but the thing is I had the exhibitor badge thing, so the following day I got to pick up my toys an hour early.
Well, but my point is, that's, yeah, okay. Yeah, when she got there, she was, okay, we're hungry, so we're going to go down and, you know, do our thing, and then ended up standing in the exclusives line, which was broken up into three separate lines this time. There was the cash line, the credit line, and then the exclusives line.
Oh yeah, like, we were on that line for like 3 hours or something.
Oh yeah, that line was long. Like
after a few minutes, I had to eat something. I was gonna faint if I didn't get anything into my body. So I was like, screw this. I got off the line, ate French fries at the hotel restaurant for highly expensive, but I expected it to be. But I was hungry, and then I saw how long the line was. And I was just like, I'll pick it up tomorrow. And the next day, the exhibitors got their toys early, so I was like, yay!
Yeah, we managed to, I don't know, that like with the exclusives line, they had that one that went through actually incredibly quick, and that was, you know, the exclusive add-ons, which for whatever reason didn't include the Soundwave headband, even though that goes with the frickin' toys. So I had to stand in the normal line with everyone else. I don't know how long it took. I wasn't watching my clock, but it took a long time to get through that line. Mm. It was convoluted and terrible. Apparently, a fight actually broke out down there.
What?
A fight had apparently broken out, like, just, you know... Well, I guess you know. Well, Callie will know this, and Derek will know this. But when you went into the exclusives, when you went into to see the club store, there it was a doorway and then steps, And then right in that doorway, I don't know exactly what happened. Apparently, I think some dude was trying to cut or some. I don't know exactly what happened, but a fight broke out and they actually had to break some people up.
Huh.
Because of that.
I wish it was two people's moms.
Yeah.
Also, a fight like that can happen anywhere but any.
That's true. But another one of the debacles, unfortunately, with that line is the credit card line.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, FunPub thought it was a fantastic idea to set up a credit card on a wireless signal in a basement.
Yeah, they couldn't get a signal to the basement at all.
They could not get a signal to the basement of the hotel.
I think they were trying to get a cable to run, but the hotel didn't have that or something. I don't know, but yeah, that was another thing.
There was something like that, and it just the I felt so bad for the people in the credit line. First off, I don't know why anybody would even want to use credit at BotCon, because that would just terrify the hell out of me right now.
Well, it's like they said, you know, it's like. I think that right now is probably the safest time it's ever going to be, you know, because they're completely tracking everything.
So yeah, but
it's
I
like
still
right have... after a, you know, right after a, I don't know, an earthquake, everybody gets ready for is more prepared for an earthquake. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Exactly, but I still wasn't going to personally trust it. People, you know what, sure. Props to you, I guess, if you're brave enough to do it, but I was just like, nope. I had cash on hand the entire weekend, which was a hell of a lot of fun carrying around $1,500. But I felt that was a hell of a lot safer than carrying a card.
I went plastic.
Yeah, no.
Again, no. I didn't care. I was ready.
I try to use credit cards as little as possible, even when not dealing with FunPub, just generally. Because even Michael's art store had a fraud thing last year with a lot of their debit card swipers. So I try to use credit cards as little as possible.
I guess I'm used to it too, because like our company has had that stuff happen through our payroll agency has had stuff happen. So it's like, it's just like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Hopefully they'll catch it.
I have actually a question for the rest of you that aren't in New York City. Do other cities have adverts about how to protect your credit card against thieves at PIN stations?
Oh, yes.
Cover it with your hand and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those LifeLock commercials are everywhere.
No, not LifeLock. Like, we have news, like frequent reminders that if you're using an ATM, cover the PIN card with your hand, so any camera that might be mounted by thieves cannot catch the PIN number or things like that.
How can they have cameras that good, and then when they have those, like, the police camera or the security cameras, they're so crappy, like, you can't see anything.
I don't know, I guess here we're a little bit more paranoid.
Well, I guess it doesn't help that New York's like, or that area of New York is a very big hub, central hub, so I'm sure a lot of information gets stolen daily out there.
It's a hub and a hub of commerce.
It's a tourist trap, so, you know, hey, tourists are, you know, they're on vacation, they don't care, they're being frugal, or not frugal, but they're just spending Free. And really not caring.
Yes. All right. So anyway. Thursday night, you picked up your toys. You got your toys. What happened in the shenanigans suite?
Gross. I don't know if I want to hear this.
Arts and crafts.
The shenanigans suite was all kinds of full of fun. Yes.
We had an arts and craft party.
I'm sure this is the point where you want to tell your story about the special gifts.
Yeah, Miss Callie was very, very artsy craftsy.
I had a banner of paper and crayons.
Yes.
And then we drew the Puggle banner for my table with crayons and art things, and it was awesome.
Cool.
It was.
All right, so... Friday morning, Friday, Callie, what happened with you, you know, Friday morning?
I was up at like 7 in the morning or around about.
You were not. I tried to get you up at 7 and you didn't want to get up.
I got up.
That was awesome.
I'm a light sleeper. I get up. I got up. I got dressed. I
can just see it now. No, breakdown. Go away. 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
There's a giant effing robot looming over you. You're going to get out of bed right now.
That didn't happen. I got up. I went. The first thing I did, the artist alley, the dealer room didn't open until like 2 o'clock. But the toys, the ones that I give, they let the dealer room people in early, was like 9 o'clock, something like that. I don't remember, and my tag is somewhere in my luggage. So I went down there, and they told me
you got up at 8:45.
Yeah, and they told me that they actually closed half an hour early for the dealers because they opened half an hour early. I overheard what people are saying that they wanted to take a break. So they told me, get on the line with all the people waiting for the regular opening. I was like, screw that. No, I just wanted one toy. I'm not going to wait in line for that. But Pete showed up, and Pete was like, what the hell? It should be open here. So even though other dealers were complaining, trying to get the toys early, he wasn't really aware of who wanted what. But I was there, and Pete knew me. So Pete got them to get me the toy that I wanted. Because it sets for like $100 each, and I couldn't. So I got the set that I wanted, and then I went back to my room, and then I ate stuff and played Plants vs. Zombies for like 2 hours.
What was the set you wanted?
The SG Optimus Prime and the Kickoff, I believe his name is, or Kickover, or Kick the Lamb, for all I know.
Yeah, Kick
His name
kickoff
is Kickout.
Kickoff is really good.
Kick the Puppet.
Awesome. Did you keep any, Mariah? Did you end up keeping any?
No. I didn't. I was insanely tempted to get my hands on those Junkions.
Yeah.
And they're so damn gorgeous.
And you know how bad I am with that stuff, too.
I terrible. Know, but $99 for 3 figures, that was really kind of steep. If it was a little cheaper, I would have gone for it, but $99 for 3 of them was like, oh my god, I want them, but that's like half my...
Yeah, not for that price. I mean...
They're insanely pretty. Though. I was like, first off, because of the way BotCon works, none of us know what the exclusives are before the show. And I'm sure that a lot of people that are listening to this already know that. So
unless it's like, 2011, you're helping create the exclusives. Oh, wait, happened.
or you have to be people in the know.
Yeah. Raising my hand here is I knew exactly what was in the set like a month and a half before everybody else did.
Hey, I helped create Motormaster, so...
What?
Yes, I did. Don't lie. I asked you on Twitter. It was like last year's before...
Oh, that's true. That's right. I forgot.
Tangent here, but last year, in December or January, like a month or so before they announced what was going to be happening as far as the overall theme, like 3 o'clock in the morning, New York time, you tweeted, hey... What's Motormaster's box look like? What's back there? And I was like, give me 5 minutes.
The back of his head, right? Like the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back of his head.
That was like,
I was like, give me 5 minutes. So I went on.
Wasn't that almost like.
On, that was I think I went on YouTube before. And I screen capped the back of the box head. And I'm like, here, does this help easily? And you're like, yeah, that helps a lot. So yeah, I helped create Motormaster.
That was like a year early too, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, so 2012. Mariah, what was your Friday morning like?
Friday morning was very lazy. Where's my badge? There it is. Okay. Looking on the back of the badge because BotCon does this awesome thing of printing the schedule for the convention on the back of the badge. There was nothing for me to do. I had already done all of my line stuff on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty much we kind of wandered around and said hi to people that we hadn't seen in a year or so and did breakfast in the cafe. The very first thing convention wise that I did was the Transformers Film Fest, which was like at 11. So between like 8 and 11, I kind of had nothing to do.
Okay, now, what did they show at the Film Fest this year?
The Film Fest usually consists of rather nerdy, kind of stupid videos. Some of them were funny. Some of them were okay. I wasn't, like, overly impressed by any of them, really, this year.
Oh, so this isn't like what they did a couple of years ago where they showed you, like, the 86 movie or...
No, these are fan... Oh, okay. These are fan-made for contests. It's actually a contest. Okay. It's got prizes and stuff to it.
Okay.
The film fest was... It was funny. There were a couple of entries that I loved. Green Energy was particularly funny. You can find... You should be able to find most of these on YouTube by now. I think one of my favorite ones was... See if I can find it real quick because I don't remember the whole damn title of it. It was so freaking long. The best Transformers BotCon 2012 fan film thingy ever made.
Oh,
that was what it was called. That one was funny.
Long title, actually.
Yeah, that one was. It was with Ravage the Insult Cat.
Oh, yeah. Didn't that one win?
No, it didn't.
Oh, I thought it did.
It got close.
Oh, is that the, it was the guy with the Ravage puppet?
Yeah.
Yeah,
John Bailey Crumpton? Was that his?
I have no idea. It wasn't the dude that made the glit, the SG glit.
Right, that Trent and Greg had those.
Yeah, it was the plastic one.
I think it was
one.
John because he had one and he was doing that for me to poop on kind of voice or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was funny. The one that won was actually a guy filming his 2-year-old son talking about his Transformers and the little boy, you know, well, oh, this is Optimus Prime, this is Bumblebee, okay. This is, yeah, you know, like the Megatron and had him singing the Transformers theme song. Little 2-year-old, really adorable kid. Look, tip for everybody out there. You want to win the film fest? Stick a 2-year-old in there. Just have him talk about Transformers. Apparently, that
there's probably going to be 700 of those next year now.
Wow. All right. So Kelly, the Friday afternoon was Artist Alley in the dealer room, or were you in the dealer room and Artist Alley was separate? Because I never could understand that throughout all the debacle of, hey, we're not having Artist Alley this year. Oh, but wait, through fan demand, we're bringing it back. So
no, that was a Hasbro thing. Hasbro.
Right. No, I know that.
Top Club was actually shoved into a tight space when the parent company starts looming and goes, "We will take away all your toys."
Right. So. Was Artist Alley in the dealer room the same thing, or was it too complete?
The Artist Alley was pretty much integrated into the dealer's room. There were a couple of, like, there was one artist table way in the back of the room, and I think I saw a couple of others, like the guy that does the walkie comic, David Willis, had a table in the middle of the room. But the main Artist Alley.
Also, he doesn't start any fights with the other artists.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I don't know him that well.
No, I'm just kidding.
In the back, there was like 5 tables next to each other in the back of the room by where the autograph line starts.
And Kelly was like one guy down from Simon Furman.
Yeah, I sat next to. I wrote his name down because I suck at remembering things.
Matt, somebody.
Matt Frank.
Yep,
yes.
That's what it was.
He's good.
Awesome guy. He had an adventure with a masterpiece Grimlock. And there was like 5 tables there. Josh Perez was a little bit down for me. I'm told Simon Furman was a little bit down for me, but I didn't actually talk to him that I remember. I might have.
I introduced you to him.
What?
I introduced you to him.
Most of the convention is a blur of happiness.
I was like, I brought David Kaye and Simon Furman down and they met you.
Yes, I remember David Kaye. I have pictures. And he took a card for me later, and Mr. Sorensen, and I can't remember names right now.
The Forster?
Yes, thank you. My mind isn't working very well tonight. They stopped by,
right.
And like, you made me a Death Head Muggle, and I still have it. I was like, oh my god, I'm fans!
She made Jim the Death's Head Puggle.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I was kind of jealous of that one, actually.
That was an interesting one to make because I really didn't know how it would work. So that was pretty much it, and most of the convention is kind of a blur of joy and kind of delirious panic.
I don't know how delirious you can be when you have to pay attention to a mob of people that want your product.
The line, your lines were crazy.
I know. I've seen the pictures. It's like, she's famous. I mean, you know, she's not, you know, she's...
There was one point where her line was like, I don't know, 25, 30 people long, maybe more, going down there. And Simon Furman had like three guys. I was like, what is going on here?
Well, Simon,
this guy's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame.
People know all about Simon.
Simon's great.
I don't know how any of the other P artists in the Artist Alley reacted. I kind of wish I had the mind to look, because now I'm curious. But yeah, most of the time I was just going, oh my God, there are people coming. And yeah, I didn't even realize there was a line until someone pointed it out, and I was like, holy shit.
From... So tell us, how many puzzles did you take with you?
102. And I did a little basket full of little hatchlings and mystery grab bag eggs, which were more popular than I thought they would be.
And you left with how many puggles?
One.
Pretty good. 101 puggles sold.
He's on eBay now. 4 days left. I put him up on eBay this morning. He has 6 bids.
Oh, cool.
Poor little G2. Poor little BotCon 2010 street star.
I think if you call him Streetwise, people will know who the hell he is.
Well, I'm sure she wanted to go by the official name.
But the TFCC guys don't even go by the official name. They always have the real names in the comic.
Oh, boy. What were you going to say earlier, Mariah?
I was just going to say that the dealer hall opened at 2, and from 2 to 4 p.m., Callie had a line. Like, constant line. And she, because of the way that she was working with it, she was actually cataloging every single one of them that she sold. So she could only deal with one person at a time. Yeah, so right. The line went relatively slow. But she was busy for the longest time, and
well, right. I mean, and
people stayed.
Yeah, didn't you say originally, Callie, that it was going to be a cash only sale?
It was a cash only sale. It didn't take
right. No, I know, but I'm saying like it. You know, you were busy taking these people's information down and everything else, but it wasn't because of you were doing credit cards or anything like that.
I'm just a control freak, and I like to know what I sell when. So I had a notebook where I was writing literally everything down. After like the fifth puzzle, I stopped writing down what time things sold.
she seemed to be having fun with weighing them
before she sold them.
I freak out if I don't know what I sell when. I forgot to write down when I sold one puggle. I was freaking about it for like 6 hours before it was a 10-year-old kid that was like, oh, I bought the wrong puggle. And I was like, oh, yes, I remember you. Why didn't I write this down?
Aww.
Yeah, she had a little bit of a freak out. I can't remember what puggle it was, but she had a little bit of a freak out when she couldn't find a puggle on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, what was it? She couldn't find a puggle on a table, but she had it written down as sold, and she was just like, what? Or she didn't have it written out as sold.
I have very poor memory. So I write things down in order to keep track of everything. And if I don't write something down and I have no memory of what happened to it, I completely freak out.
It's actually kind of
funny. So day one, did you take... After you were done with day one, did the first 50 sell immediately?
No. There was actually about 6 puggles left at the end of the first day, but I know why. Everyone was looking at the 6 that were left, and I told them that I would have more tomorrow. So they kind of took it as, I will come back tomorrow to see what else you will have. So those puggles sold the next day very easily.
Oh. So who was left at the end of day one?
I remember there was an Iron Fist, because I kept looking at it, even though I already have an Iron Fist puggle. I kept looking at it saying, oh, I wonder if I should buy the Iron Fist. I know he was there.
I actually have the picture here. I know Grapple was left, Twincast was left, Slugfest was left.
Slugfest was really good, too. That was cool, man. Sorry, he was neat.
Smokescreen, I think, also. That Ironhide sold. And I think that might have been it. No, Acid Storm also.
Uh-huh. Cool.
They sold the next day pretty easily.
All right.
Okay, so after the dealer room, what else happened on Friday for you guys, Mirai? I mean, like after all of the dealer room stuff, what else went on Friday?
Actually, before the dealer room closed, like not too long before, like I want to say she only got like a half an hour in the dealer hall, but Twitter at sign all roads home, which is Vette Velocity, actually got to dress up in her animated RC costume, and she got to wander the floor for a little while. She didn't do it very long, because there really wasn't much time. She hung out with me and Callie for the majority of the day, and I think did RC for maybe 2 hours. She really didn't do her for that long. But yeah, other than that, I mean, what did we do? Oh, I think we stayed up like insanely late or something. We were just, oh my God, excited. And cause everybody was coming in at that point. We had all the shenanigans sweeters, which was 12 people. at this point, Callie was doing her own thing. I think she was already in her PJs and in bed. but by like 10 o'clock, we were all just like, oh, we're all going to go out for dinner at like 10 o'clock. So we all just kind of, we left the hotel and we went to go find a McDonald's at like 10:30. And actually discovered that, the way that the Hyatt Regency is set up, there is a gigantic, for lack of a better term, shaft that shot up into the sky.
With Vector Sigma on top.
And then, yes, and then on top of it at night, this thing lights up, this big, huge ball with a bunch of lights on it, it lights up. And it's just like, dude, it's Vector Sigma. That's awesome. So, like, no matter where we were kind of in that general area in Dallas, we could see that ball. And we're just like, we need to go there to get back to the hotel. We have no idea where we are, but we're going to go that way. yeah, other than that, we didn't really do very much. We hung out a little bit down in the bar, just kind of milling about because everybody was there. The TFW guys love hanging out in the bar, so I was there a lot. I like hanging out with them. I think they're fantastic. The breakdown puggle, which is actually staring at me on my desk. He got to see a lot of the convention because he wandered around with me throughout the entire convention. Right. And he got to see the whole convention and everybody's, oh my God, does she have another one? Be like, no, she doesn't. while Callie's table was open, I actually had my Skywarp plush from Musha and Breakdown sitting on Skywarp's lap on the table. And like, every other person would come up, oh my God, is it Breakdown for sale? No. Sorry. He's and mine.
Your Skywarp met up with a couple other Musho
my
seekers
Skywarp
at one point, right?
Did. Only one, unfortunately. But he did manage to find Starscream. he managed to find Starscream. Later in the day, he actually found Jazz. And then later on in the weekend, he actually found Goldbug, who was actually one of the sweeters in our room, and Perceptor.
You didn't see the? Did you see the tracks?
There was a tracks wandering around, but Skywarp never got to meet him.
They wouldn't have gotten along anyway.
No, they wouldn't have. No.
Ew, it's organic.
that lady did have. She had animated tracks. She had G1 tracks.
I
think they were both by Musha, and then she had a different one, but I think it was maybe non-Musha tracks too.
Probably.
That's some hardcore tracks action. I mean, fandom, whatever. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
Not okay, like
so
that.
Saturday.
Tracks on tracks action.
Saturday was the big day.
Yes, Saturday was the day. So what happened Saturday morning for you, Mirai?
Oh, God. Saturday morning consisted of... Wait, when did the dealer hall open? Dealer hall opened 8:30. So I woke up at like 7:30. No, 7. I woke up at 7. Throughout the entirety of yesterday, a little bit Wednesday, and especially Thursday evening, All Roads Home was making a disaster in our suite because she was actually still working on building Knockout. She wasn't completely finished with Knockout, so she was making a mess, and there were costume bits everywhere and hot glue guns and And, you know, both she and I actually had to make repairs to both break. I had to make repairs to break down because he sat in her car all day, because she actually came and did the Wednesday customization class. And so she came a day early and she drove. So I just shipped breakdown to her and then she drove him to the convention. But because he sat in her car all day, there were minor repairs here and there that needed to just be touched up. Luckily, it wasn't anything too extreme.
Was it expected kind of stuff or was it?
Yeah, expected little, just tiny little seams that popped out. It was mainly in like his helmet and then one of his shoulders.
Because you're pretty knowledgeable and experienced at this stuff by this point, right? You've done this a little while.
Yeah, but by now you kind of tend to learn how to pack things for shipping after you've done this for so long. But yeah, Saturday was the big day because Saturday was breakdowns day to show off and be around people. So.
Well, I thought it was the big day because it was my panel on Saturday.
Oh, that's always.
Oh, there is that. We'll get to that later.
Getting to see you is always a plus.
Oh, you.
Oh, me. But yeah, that was. I got into the rig. At that point, I still hadn't eaten anything. But I had my spotter, and then I had three other people I was actually working on because I needed to get up that early is because I needed to film things in the hallway or in the dealer hall itself before it became convoluted with the walk-ins.
Right.
Before it became convoluted with the children mostly. So
it didn't seem like there were that many walk-ins and kids this year.
No, right? There weren't. There really weren't, which is kind of surprising, especially for Dallas. But there were. I needed to film something, but like four of my sweeters actually ended up following me around. One of them ended up ditching about halfway through the day, but I had like three spotters the entire weekend, or the entire day. It was pretty fantastic considering that I have very limited mobility. Mm-hmm. In breakdown, I can only raise my arms to about a 90 degree. I can't reach my face. So
we know you can't hit anyone though. That's a good thing.
I can punch you in the gut pretty hard. Thank you.
She can stiff arm.
Yeah. And
I cannot run you in that thing, I think.
Well, and yeah, you can, but those shoulders are hard. Yeah. If I wanted to, I could probably check you pretty hard. But yeah, that was my big day. I did a lot of filming for something that I'm going to be putting up here in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks or so, as soon as I can get the video codecs to work correctly on my Mac. Otherwise,
out of the actual BotCon guests, besides our limited edition guest host here, like David K, Gary Chalk, how many people did you actually go up to in breakdown as far as the voice actors?
No one actually.
Really?
The only person that I went up to go see was Peter Cullen. And that was because, like, this year, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this, but this year, BotCon did the lottery tickets, right? So instead of, I want to enter the lottery, please put me in the lottery. If you bought a registered package, you were automatically entered whether you wanted to be in that line or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Peter Cullen is great. I'm not a big fan of Peter Cullen, nor am I a fan of Optimus Prime. So getting his autograph really didn't matter to me. I would have much rather given it to some little kid. But while I'm wandering around in Breakdown, I'm actually in Derek Wyatt's panel at this point, and I've got one of Breakdown's arms off and the feet off, so that I can at least attempt to kneel down and rest my arms, rest my legs.
Right.
I'm flitting around on Twitter, and half of my Twitter is freaking the hell out because I'm on the list for Peter Cullen's autograph, and I'm like, I really don't want it. So I actually ended up getting something signed for someone in our suite, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we were only allowed to get one thing signed, and I thought I was going to get my badge signed, and it's like, okay, well, I'm only allowed to get one thing, then I'll get her poster, because autographs, I'm not a big fan of standing in line and having someone scribble on a piece of paper for me. I'm really not. That doesn't
interest me. That's just because she can see me anytime.
Yeah, just right.
A little spoiler. No, I'm kidding. I agree with you though. I like, you know, it's cool if you get to, you know, if it's a panel and you can interact and ask questions and stuff. I'd much rather go to something like that than a signing.
Well, and then it's like, usually when people hear Peter Cullen, he's kind of practiced. He's you know, he's in front of a camera. When he's in front of a camera, he's got this very practiced, very, you know, deeper kind of tone to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
What Brian Savage actually did for me was, because I was in costume, he actually allowed me to get up right in the front of the line, so I didn't have to stand in line as, you know, as big old breakdown. I could actually just jump in front of the line and get what I needed signed and get out of there, which was
Brian
fantastic.
Brian Savage did this for you?
No, not Brian Savage. Excuse me. Pete Sinclair did this for me.
Oh, yes.
Brian Savage don't do shit for me.
Okay.
That's a totally different. No. Yeah. Pete Sinclair is fantastic. Okay. he actually popped me up and I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. But when I got in front of the line and he saw me, he went, oh, and his voice actually hit a higher note than I've ever heard out of his mouth before. And while he was talking to me, he had this higher, just this slightly higher tone to his voice. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is probably his normal speaking voice, because I surprised him and took him out of his element.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that what I heard was his actual speaking voice as opposed to the normal voice that you usually hear on TV.
Yeah, I mean, his, and this is because I've never been to BotCon. I would love to go, but it's just not in my deck of cards at this point in time. I've seen people videotape his panels with Peter Cullen, and his voice is much lower. And it's not as deep and as gravelly as Optimus's voice is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's more quiet as himself than anything else. I mean, essentially, Peter Cullen, even though he was the voice of this character for the longest time, essentially he is an Eeyore.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, every time I see him, unless he's doing, you know, the Hasbro promotion thing for, you know, being Optimus, he's a very quiet man.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the impression that I get from stuff that I've seen him on, where he's not actually, you know, promoting the brand.
Yeah, as far as, you know, I've worked with a lot of voice actors and stuff, but I've never really worked with Peter at all, so I don't have any experience with him at all.
Yeah, I really don't have any experience with him much either, just on a general fan level, because I really don't much care for him. I think I've seen him, like, actually seen him in person, like, maybe twice. And yeah. That's about it.
My booth was in front of the line for it the entire time.
Yeah, all Callie had to do was turn around and she could probably see him.
There was at least one kid that stopped in front of the booth going, why can't I meet Optimus Prime?
Yeah, it's like, I felt bad for the little kids that were just like, oh yeah, no, sorry, not this time.
All right. Callie, what happened to you on Saturday as far as the remainder of the Puggles and all that glory?
I sat at my table. I sold Puggles. One remained. I think I played I played Plants vs. Zombies for like the hour and a half at the end of the show, just waiting for people to stumble upon my booth. But there's only one lonely Puggle.
Poor little street star. Hey, he's bid up to $26 at this point, so...
Yeah, that's good. He's almost there. What if he gets up to, like, 50? And you're like...
I sold a total of 10 prints and 6 pendants and then all the Puggles.
Those were the Josh Perez prints?
What?
Those were the Josh Perez prints?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I signed... I think I was asked to sign, like, 2 of them.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. So, besides our special guests panel, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, what other panels did you ladies attend? Mariah or Callie, whoever wants to go first. What panels were you looking forward to the most out of this year's convention?
I kind of want to say that the entirety of the actual convention programming didn't interest me, like, at all. I was not interested in the voice actor panels. Really didn't care about the Jagex panels or anything else, because I'm going to buy the game anyway, so I don't want to be spoiled on it. The only... I wanted to see the TCC roundtable, but...
That was probably the best... I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that was probably the best panel I went to, with all those big reveals.
Yeah, there were a lot of big reveals, and a lot of people were really pleased by it, and... Yeah. But I didn't, I wanted to go to it, but I was in breakdown. And at the time, I think I was down in the dealer hall trying to get away from people. I think at that time I was actually with Knockout. So I couldn't really escape Knockout.
Cause I came in after that panel. I remember running into you guys right at the front of the dealer room. You probably didn't see me because you were breakdown. But...
It's really hard for me to see things out of that costume.
Yeah,
I went to Derek's panel because it was Derek's panel.
I think we all went to Derek's panel because it was Derek's panel.
I went to the Jagex.
I like to be the guy who's like, "Well, hey guys, I don't have a cartoon anymore, but come and visit me."
I went to the Jagex panel for the MMO coming up just out of curiosity, and I think that's all I did actually.
Without spoiling anything, was there anything that caught your eye about the MMO?
They claim that the MMO, even though it's browser run, will be just as fancy and as awesome as any client-based MMO. Which I am intrigued by, but also skeptical. Because they also say that even a 5-year-old computer will be able to run the game beautifully.
Wow.
I'm a little bit skeptical.
They must be dealing with 5-year-old software then.
The people that are running that seem really jazzed about it too. I wanted to go to that panel, but then I ended up going to lunch instead, which
I even got to ask them a question. I was like, why a browser-based MMO? Why not a client-based MMO? And they said that because browser-based is what we do.
Browser-based is something that Jagex is very famous for, actually.
That was probably Hasbro's choice. Then, if they chose to do this, I don't even know what that means, browser-based or client-based. But if usually the Hasbro will decide what they want to do and then go to the most suited company for that.
Browser-based means that it's on the web. It's a website that you run it by. Client-based means you download something onto your computer and you run it from that.
It's essentially like going out and buying War for Cybertron versus playing Cafe World on Facebook. Is essentially the difference.
So does that mean it's going to be all cute and like cute style Transformers, or like little 2-head style Transformers walking around?
I don't know.
like a
it's the difference between
like Animal Crossing.
Oh God!
essentially the difference between World of Warcraft and bot shots.
Oh, okay.
That's, World of Warcraft, you download cool. onto your hard drive. Bot shots, you open up a website and you poke people.
All right. Were there any other panels that you went to, Kelly, besides Derek's and the Jagex panel on Saturday?
No, BotCon is like a glorified shopping trip for me.
Okay. That's why I usually
pretty much.
So much time selling Puggles that it couldn't find all of the really good deals, so I didn't buy much anyway. But I sold the Puggles and I made money, so I'm happy with myself.
Yay! Go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm lost. The only other panel that I went to was the Hasbro Transformers brand team panel.
And that was on Sunday, right?
That was on Saturday. That was directly after the roundtable.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I saw that one. I love seeing toy reveals. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't actually show my favorite upcoming toy, which was the Legion Transformers Prime Breakdown. They didn't show it. He's in Wave 4 along with two others. but there were two question marks over two of the squares, and the other one was just like, yeah, this character's from Exodus. We'll show you this, or Exile, excuse me. We'll show you this character from Exiles, and I don't even know who the hell he was.
It sounded like it wasn't that much stuff they showed off.
There really wasn't. I was insanely disappointed about how little they showed off this year.
I thought Breakdown would be in the display cabinets, to be honest with you.
I thought he was, too. I was honestly really looking forward to this toy panel so that I could see Breakdown in color, finally. Because, Singapore got to see Breakdown's prototype, his gray prototype. So I would have figured by now they'd have him in color and have him, like, as a color prototype to show off.
Yeah.
But they didn't have that. At the end of the panel, I actually wanted to ask the question, but someone beat me to it, was where was Breakdown? Because at the time I was in the Breakdown costume. So I thought that would have been fantastic, Breakdown asking about Breakdown, but someone else beat me to it. After talking to one of the Hasbro guys after the panel, just in serious, off the record, one-on-one, why couldn't you show Breakdown? And he was actually just like, we can neither confirm nor deny a U.S. release for Breakdown.
Oh, jeez.
So
it's kind of like animated Blackout.
Yeah, and I
they ordered the Takara one.
Yeah, I'm nervous about Takara because stickers.
I don't. It's such a weird. Like, I got the first editions, and they look so nice, but the stickery ones kind of scare me too.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have the Arms Micron Takara Skywarp. I managed to pick up him for a relatively ish cheap price, the cheap quote unquote of $40. But I mean, he looks fantastic just by himself without the stickers. So I don't even know if I'm going to put them on.
I heard with him in particular, because of the. It has that kind of red foil look to the sticker. They do look really nice when you get them on, if you get them on.
Yeah, one of my friends did that, and he showed me pictures. And he does look fantastic with stickers, but he does look really awesome even without them. So I'm half tempted to leave them off. I haven't decided yet. But I really kind of don't want to put stickers on Breakdown. I would much rather buy a U.S. release. Or if it does happen, then yippee, I get to take paint to a toy, which I've never done before. But for Breakdown, I might. Mm-hmm. I just the worry I have over a non-US release for Breakdown is kind of making me nervous.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that because I was looking at the first editions, which are all shiny and painted up nice, but
yeah.
Hmm. But I'm sure generally once the mold is done and the figure is being run, that they generally find a way to come out, even if it's on a mass release.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
I hope so.
But in this case, it might be interesting to get one Takara one and one US one. If the Takara one is kind of plain, it might be an interesting contrast.
Might be.
Maybe he'll come with an eye patch sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I just want them to make him with the eye patch.
Right. Part of the other, what do you call it? One of the other reveals that they had during the brand team panel was the SDCC exclusives,
mm-hmm.
Which was, I'm sure a lot of other people have seen if they've looked on Sabertron or TFW or whatever, just on their news posts, Fall of Cybertron Bruticus.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
Well, the gift set swindles the
blows.
Wait a second.
Repeat that. What'd you just say?
I hate that swindle. It's got a
really
stupid, yes. It's got a stupid alternator head. It doesn't have the big purple eyes.
Oh,
it looks
that's
like
no
crap.
Fair.
No, it looks terrible.
That swindle looked cool.
It's bad.
Unfortunately,
maybe combined together they're fine, but with swindle on his own, I hate it. I don't like it at all.
What? Damn, that sucks. Because it was like I was thinking of buying Bruticus and just keeping Swindle for myself, and then selling the rest of the toys.
Yeah, it's
just me. Like I'm really picky with him because he's my favorite, and it's like
it doesn't. Yeah, really doesn't help.
They didn't do it right. I don't know why they used the alternator head that is based on Trailbreaker. It has nothing to do with Swindle.
Well, Trailbreaker.
Super depressed when I saw that.
I didn't even see that. I was just too busy freaking out about the whole combined mode, I think.
Yeah. I was too busy freaking out about Swindle's vehicle mode. I mean, I love Swindle in general anyway, but I just thought the Fall of Cybertron vehicle mode for him was just a really unique and really cool design.
Maybe, but anyways, it's a robot. It's not him anymore.
Oh, bummer.
That's me. I don't know.
One of the other things that they showed was the SDCC exclusive of Transformers Prime Zombie Cliffjumper.
Yes.
Which was
big severed head.
which is fantastic. I love the toy itself. The severed head is kind of retarded, and I wish they had gone with I honestly wish they had gone with a clear dark Energon case. I think that would have been much better than this stupid zombie head we're getting.
Maybe. Well, the zombie head is just packaging, right?
Yeah, it is just packaging, but
that's cool packaging.
No, but the problem is with me is it takes up a lot of space. It's plastic, and all I'm gonna do is throw it away. I don't want it.
If it had a hole in the top of its head and you can use it to go trick or treating, then it would be cool.
That would be cool. I was honestly hoping that they were gonna go with the Dark Energon casing, because I'd keep the Dark Energon casing if it was that, but it's not.
I still kind of like the clear purple Takara one too. That one's kind of awesome.
That one is, it's really bizarre, and stop looming over me. That's creeping me out. I'm still on a podcast. Thank you. Sorry.
Speak.
If I can talk. Hi. Like half of Twitter was kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's true. I didn't get a close enough look at Cliffjumper, and I don't know what the first edition looks like, but like half of Twitter was either jokingly complaining or actually complaining that first edition Cliffjumper was canceled to America because they made him an SDCC exclusive.
Well, yeah, that was the we got the first edition, but then the first editions got canceled, which meant that the original Terracon version that they were going to release got canceled. And then they went ahead and made a wholly purple version, which is not show accurate at all. It's just
it's
a purple
paint
of Cliffjumper. It's not even, it doesn't, you know.
Smurf Jumper.
Yes. Yeah. It's
Smurf
essentially,
purple.
Yes. Yes. Where's Gargamel Magnus when you really need him? Anyway, so where the hell are we? God,
we're nearing the end of Saturday, but still not talked about Derek's panel.
Yes. Let's talk about Derek's panel. My main, this is not a complaint. This is not a slight against it. As I was reading the incoming messages about your panel, Derek.
Uh huh.
I just got so sad because it's like, why is, not that I didn't like that you had a panel this year, I'm like, why did they give him a panel when he's going to give us all this stuff and tell us all this stuff that is never going to happen? Oh, God.
Different people react differently to it. It was like, I did read somebody online said, oh my God, it's like a funeral. But like the vibe in that room wasn't like that at all. It was.
Well, right. I mean, it was to celebrate.
Well, no, we started by watching the shorts, and it was like, God, it was like, even if people had seen them, it was like they're watching them again for the first time. There was like, it felt great. It was like like people were laughing hysterically, and it was, I thought it was really fun. We had a really fun time. There was one part where like a kid, this little kid came up on the microphone. Remember that? And he was like, I can't find Transformers Animated on the TV. Can you tell me what channel is it on? And I was like, oh my goodness, that is sad. So I gave my toy.
Why can't I find Transformers Animated on TV? Yeah. That was adorable. That kid
was
so
cute. So
cute.
Yeah. But mostly, I thought it was a good time. I had fun.
The other little girl that asked you who your favorite Transformer was really cute, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very amused at your panel, Derek, that you were giving away Takara TFA stuff and not having.
I think it was just whatever I had extra of. I gave a regular Ironhide away.
Yeah.
The I think the question that amused me the hell the most is, I think she was a general admission lady, but the one that asked where BotCon was going to be next year and when
no, she asked when it was going to be next year.
When it was going to be next year and when it will be in Dallas next year.
Just yeah, like, and I was like, it'll be, BotCon will be in 2013, the next BotCon will be in 2013, and I hope we never come back to Texas or something like that.
Now,
I also really like that.
Why did you think you would know?
The only thing that I suggest is that she is a walk-in at that point and doesn't really know who is in charge of the convention.
Probably. Yeah, I think she thought it was Pete or something.
Yeah, probably.
Either that, or maybe she thought that Vangelis was staff.
Now, your panel happened before the Hasbro team panel, correct?
Yeah.
Now, why didn't anyone that was in your panel go to the Hasbro team panel and say, hey, when are we getting season 3 on DVD, damn it? Because I remember the your panel was going by, someone asked you, what about season 3?
Someone actually asked about
season
that.
3 on DVD is one of the problems. Isn't it an issue with Cartoon Network and Cartoon Network?
No, it's not. You don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Stop spreading those rumors.
Someone actually did ask at the Hasbro Band panel, but I wasn't paying attention because so I can't.
Somebody asks me that like every day. And I always tell them, just ask.
Do you have any idea what the issue is? Why it.
There's no issues. There's no issues.
So there's no issue, but yet we're still not getting it. That saddens me.
Well, then ask Hasbro.
Right.
That's a contract dispute.
What?
I thought it was a contract dispute.
Did I just say you were totally wrong?
I know.
You are. You're totally wrong.
I believe that's what like half of, or maybe more than half of the fandom thinks is that animated actually belongs to Cartoon Network and they're not releasing it because they're being stubborn bitches. But I honestly don't believe that's true.
There's nothing. That's not true at all.
Hmm.
Completely 100% owned by Hasbro. If there's any issues at all, it might be airing rights to, you know, but I'm sure that's even over by now.
Yeah. I love the stuff with the SG universe. That would have been so awesome to see.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
We were talking about that. It's like, SG Fan Zone, this is why I love machines.
Yeah. kind of a spotlight on the animated SG universe and the Transformers Collector Club magazine, and Tubesmith actually wrote the SG Sorry portion of that and came out really good.
Cool. All right, so what happened on Sunday for everybody? What was Callie, what was your plan on Sunday?
I shopped.
And then you dropped.
I shopped. I ate food at regular intervals.
Now, what did you buy?
I bought a bunch of decoys for the Minibot collection. I bought the Wind Charger Wipeout Takara 2-pack because I've been meaning to get that for a while. I pretty much stalked the Hasbro booth for free Creos and Botshots.
How many Botshots did you get?
One.
Oh.
Because by the time I kept getting there, everyone else was taking them, and then all they had was Brawl and Bumblebee, and I already have Bumblebee, so I took the Brawl, and that was that.
Oh, yeah, I was there. I think was I there? Because I took a Bumblebee when I was there.
I managed to convince the guys at the War for Cybertron booth to give me all of their posters without doing anything, because I already paid off the game. I paid off the game at my GameStop, and I already liked them on Facebook. Like, I already did all of that, but I can't do it here. What do I do? And they were like, we will give you the posters anyway.
Cool.
And then
on Sunday they put out a lockdown bot shot.
Ah,
yes. You look so good. I can't wait till that comes out.
Oh, no, wait. Okay, no. You terrified me for a second. You mean in the case? Yes, I saw him in the case. I thought they were giving it away. I was like, what?
No. Yeah, sorry.
I thought you meant giving them away. I was like, no. Yeah.
He looked awesome, though. It was so cool. There was a bunch of cool bot shots that they showed off. The Power Glide is really good, and those things are awesome. They're so fun.
I got Derek a laser beak.
Yes, a clear green what do you call it? Immobile laser beak. It's almost like a decoy. But
so it
kind
wasn't
of harder
a decoy?
Plastic. What's that?
It wasn't a decoy?
It could have been, but it was a little bit different plastic than I've seen on decoys before.
It's hard plastic. I don't know where it's from either. I got a couple mini bots of the same type of plastic for myself because I have no idea what they are. And they're not decoys, but they're mini bots. I'll have to do research on it. I'm not sure what they are.
This is the first time I remember seeing a lot of decoys and a few battle beasts at BotCon. There haven't been any of those for a while now. And I look for battle beasts every year, and I hadn't seen them, but there were.
I was surprised none of the booths had individual creons for the first sale.
That's true. There were no creons. That's weird. Maybe everybody has them all.
But individual creons aren't being sold blind packed yet. So
I did miss out. Someone had a G1, G2 purple sea, a G2 purple sea spray for $50. I thought about it, walked away, came back, it was gone.
You know, Mariah, when you go to Frankenstein's over here, like there will be. Places that have Legos and stuff usually will have loose crayons for sale. Like,
really?
You know, they just pull them out of the sets and then sell the pieces, I guess.
Okay.
So, but, yeah.
Well, I, like, I know they're not doing the blind packs for the crayons yet, but...
But do they have plans to do that?
I want
Yeah, they had...
Like, burning.
They do, because they're creating a whack ton of crayons... And then only like a small amount of Creo sets to go with those creons. So they are, as far as I know, blind packing. That's what I've heard, at least.
It's confirmed. Are they actually making blind pack creons?
As far as I know, yeah, they're actually doing blind packed creons.
Wow.
Yay!
That's going to make a lot of people very happy.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Because now I don't have to pay $10 to get the rest of the creons each.
Yeah.
I will have so many.
You can fill a bathtub with them.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing about the whole Creo line. I don't care about the Creos themselves, but the crayons, I love those. Those things are cool.
Unfortunately, the little crayons is what everyone else is after.
Yeah.
So people put them out on eBay for like $10 and other people snap them up fairly quickly.
Even though you can buy them with the set for $10?
Yeah. Speaking on that notion, Mirage is around here somewhere. Oh, there's Mirage. I have a Mirage Creo because I think it was Callie's.
Hi. What?
I think. Yeah, because didn't you grab two Mirages?
I accidentally grabbed two Jazzes instead
two
of a Jazz and a Mirage.
Yeah, it was two Jazzes. So I got. So she gave me the other Jazz. I gave the Jazz Creo to someone else, kept the Creon, and then I got the Mirage Creo from Hasbro. So I now have more Creos to go with Megatron. And who the hell is up there anyway? I have Skywarp is up there. Then I have Soundwave. No, I don't have Soundwave. That's not Soundwave. That's Shockwave. Megatron, Prowl, and the Matrix Optimus Prime that they've been giving out for several years.
I've still got one of those. You want another one?
I've got like five.
You need one more. Make it even number.
No.
They
can't get rid of those damn things. They're just throwing them away.
Yeah.
They should just spray paint them like purple and call them Shattered Glass and then see if they come out.
I was looking forward to them being a BotCon exclusive, and someone was actually at BotCon there and was actually buying them from people for like $10.
I remember that. Yeah, that was
like at BotCon 2011.
Yeah, yesterday, last year.
I have to AFK for a few minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, that was. He was just, and now it's just like those things are so damn common. I bet that person feels really stupid now because he was buying every single one of those Creos, their little crayons.
Well, maybe was like, getting people were giving her them for free.
Yeah, I
Didn't
was.
She have
I've,
a bunch of them?
I've been given so many of. Yeah, she has a bunch of them too. And yeah. When she and I were down here for STC's for San Diego Comic Con last year, we got a Creon, we got the Optimus Prime Creon. Every single day we went.
Are you going this year? Are you going to be able to? Or are you going to be busy moving and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm actually because I'm not moving until June, and then so San Diego Comic Con. I already have my tickets. All Roads Home and Velocity, rather, if I could just call her by her regular Cosplay and Velocity, my boyfriend and I are just driving out from Texas because we are shipping, or not shipping, but we are transporting five giant robot costumes.
Wow.
So we have to get them from Texas to San Diego.
Whew.
But yeah, that's a bit of a run. But I'm looking forward to SDCC, but anyway, not that topic. This is BotCon.
This is BotCon.
What, just my personal curiosity, sorry.
Right. No, yeah, that's fine. What else happened on Sunday as far as what were the panels on Sunday? I don't remember.
Sunday at 10, we had Be in the City 2,
mm-hmm.
which was rather insanely amusing.
It was fraught with technical difficulties.
They had, which was actually, it was kind of stupid at the beginning. And like, I don't know, one of the BotCon staff tried to bring up an XLR cable to try and fix. he had it in his hand and he walked from his setup. Tried to walk to the panel where all the panelists were to try and fix one of the microphones. And it snapped out of his hand because it was far too short. He didn't know it. And it blitzed all of the other microphones for a second and made the entire room go, oh.
Everybody who was there before swears that everything was working perfectly, and they did a test run through, and but it was amazing because it just, like, I came in a little bit late and I was sitting in the back of the room and the only person I could hear was David Kay. It was crazy.
So, Be in the City 2, obviously, is a sequel from Be in the City, which was in 2008's convention, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the plot line here for the sequel?
Do you want to explain, Ryan? Do you want me to? Or?
Oh, go ahead. I don't remember all the details.
Well, I'll just give the basic.
I do remember the details. I'm retarded.
Okay, go ahead. Do you want to?
Well, it was a continuity kind of flip-flop, mm-hmm. because... see if I can read the back of the badge if I remember who voiced what, because Dan Gilvezan and Buster Jones, G1 characters. And then we had, wait, I'm looking at the wrong one. There we go. And then we had David Kay and Gary Chalk. So David Kay was the voice of someone else, and then he was actually introduced as the voice of Joe.
Joe was the alias that Beast Wars Megatron was using in Be in the City 1.
Because he was the average Joe, so he was he was introduced as Joe, but then it was just like, oh, you became Megatron.
And he was also Lugnut.
Oh yeah, Lugnut, that's what it was. And then I'm a little retarded. So who was Gary Chalk voicing?
Gary was playing, I believe, Unicron Trilogy Prime.
Right, right. Oh right, Unicron Trilogy. I remember that voice from Armada. So that's why.
Yeah, he's using his Optimus Primal voice, but it's. Mm-hmm. He was playing that because at one point somebody said, or I think David's character said something about his CG being cel shaded.
Right. That was when Optimus Prime and Megatron, I think, finally confronted themselves.
Yeah.
And it was just like Megatron was like, wait, why are you not a monkey?
Yeah. There was some good stuff in there.
There was. It was pretty good. But the base plot of the whole script reading was that Megatron was going to take Bumblebee and was it kill him or just put him away for a while?
I can't remember if he was going to kill him or
I think it was killing him because he wanted to kill him and replace him as the Kid Appeal character.
Yeah. Beast Wars Megatron was going to be the new Kid Appeal character.
and they made wisecracks at about Shia and Megan Fox making out on top of his hood instead of
right.
instead of Bumblebee.
and having Beast Wars Megatron being packed 4 to a case of 8.
Yeah.
And I'm back.
Good Lord, that's funny.
So it was pretty good. It was just there was a lot of weird technical stuff in the beginning. Yeah,
it actually ended up working out once they kind of fixed it.
Yeah.
They ended up taking away two of their mics, and then poor Gary Chalk's mic blew on him, so he had to speak really loud.
Which he did really well.
Fortunately, he's got a really loud voice to begin with, so he was actually fairly well heard, unless the crowd was going crazy, right. Which happened a lot.
I had moved up to the front. By that point
you did. And one of the ones that actually I felt it kind of did work, in at least in this context, was that all the other mics were fixed besides Buster Jones's, and the mic was actually kind of skipping and blitzing so bad that it actually sounded like Blaster's voice when, yeah, you know, when they fed it through, when they fed it through the soundboard and made Blaster's kind of that voice that you hear in G1.
Mm.
That voice actually was coming through the speakers, so a lot of people didn't mind it.
Yeah, a lot of people actually thought it was on purpose. So it was kind of funny.
Actually worked in his favor, at least.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he was still kind of hard to understand. But
yeah,
that aside, it was still very amusing. And I can't believe
Dan Govazan still sounds exactly like Bumblebee, exactly like
he
Spider.
Does.
Oh yeah.
It's such a good voice. I was like, yeah, all the whole time I was thinking, oh my gosh, who can I use that voice for? It's really good.
At the beginning of the panel, though, I do want to point out, at the beginning of the panel, you won't be able to find this anywhere, at least not on a fan level, this script reading. Because at the beginning of the panel, just like in 2011, they told you we were not allowed to film nor take audio of the show at all. They've said that it will be up in 2 weeks' time. Whether they stick with that or not, because we still haven't seen the 2011 script reading, I don't know.
Also, but you know, I don't know if they recorded everything if the mics weren't working.
Oh, I don't know. That's what worries me.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was fantastic, and like nearing the end of it, like the Autobots were ended up trying to convince Megatron that he was amazing just the way he is, and like he's revered and he's loved by everyone, and
of course it worked.
Yeah, and of course it worked.
It fed into his ego.
Yeah, exactly. Feeding into his ego, and people scrounge over him, and people love him. And at one point, Bumblebee actually got to imitate Beast Wars Megatron's throaty yes. Actually got to imitate that. He was like, yes! It's like, oh, Bumblebee, you're so cute.
That was good. Yeah,
it was a good script reading. I thought that was fantastic. I didn't really do anything else Saturday. Or Sunday, rather. Now we're on Sunday. I'm retarded because I'm like skipping all around. Because I just remembered that the Sabertron bar, the Sabertron TFW bar party was on Friday that we didn't mention, but that's, you know, a gigantic event.
I sat next to Derek the whole time.
Saturday was the Hall of Fame and cocktail reception.
Right, Kelly and I had, yeah, that's when we sat together. Mm. And I asked Kelly questions about what she was going to eat and what she wasn't. Neither of us ate very much of the food that they gave us, so I don't think.
Yeah, that was fun.
The part with Abby Collins and the Starscream Chris Latta retrospective was really, really well done.
Yeah,
that was really, that was great.
Pretty classy. Really,
mm-hmm. Fantastic. I was really glad to see her and super glad that she came out, and
yeah,
it was definitely touching to see her, and I'm sure that it's not just me, it's everyone else just wishes that Chris Latta was still around, and
yeah.
Fantastic gentleman, though.
I do wish that very much so. But I do have to say, and this is, I've talked to one of these guys, and it's no disrespect to the one I've already talked to, but the one voice at this point that has actually made me like do a 180 of not really liking Starscream's character is Steve Bloom in Prime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Steve Bloom in Prime has, like, I love Transformers Prime Starscream.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's great.
Steve's Bloom's voice for Starscream is just so amazing because he can do the sinister, but he can also do the cowardly from G1 as well.
I thought you meant you hated it because it was too different or something.
No. What I was saying,
He's really good. He's awesome. Yeah. He's Spike Spiegel, for God's sakes. The guy's a genius. Mm.
The one thing I want to know about, specifically from the Hall of Fame dinner, is what was the Shockwave surprise clip? Because I know I'm never gonna. Mariah just said that they didn't put. They said you can't film anything, so no. I'm sure it's never going to get on YouTube.
No, it actually will if they go through anything that they've done in the past couple of years. In the next maybe I want to say maybe 2-3 weeks or whatever, they will end up putting up all of the Hall of Fame nominee videos. Whether they'll take that part out or not is still up for debate. But it was actually at the very end of Shockwave's nomination video.
They did it a very clever way. Like, you thought it was over. You saw Shockwave, like, single eye in the on the screen dimming out, and the music actually ends. So people started to applaud, thinking it was over. But then on the screen, TF Prime Starscream, Cliffjumper, and people were seeing RC, but I can't remember if RC was in the scene or not.
Yes. RC was next to Cliffjumper.
And people were confused, like, what the hell is this? And Starscream is going, may I present to you Shockwave? And then it pans over to Transformers Prime Shockwave, and everyone goes crazy.
Everyone went fucking nuts. Everyone just lost their shit. It was funny.
I'm sitting in my chair next to Derek, just going, what? What?
People were saying it's a flashback, right?
It is a flashback because Cliffjumper's alive and RC is right next to him.
That's pretty cool. So.
Yeah. I am looking forward to whatever it is might be. I don't know, at the end of season 2, starting of season 3, we don't know yet, but yeah. I'm sure that particular episode is still a long way off.
Right, because I think someone said something about getting that as priority footage specifically for the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Just to go back for a second, there was that the video game Shockwave figure was in the display case too.
He was too. Yeah. Oh, he's pretty.
Looked good, yeah, he did. Yes. He looked great.
The Fall of Cybertron figure, yeah.
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 So it could be another good year for Shockwave.
Oh, yes.
We just keep bouncing around. The Fall of Cybertron Soundwave was there too.
The bigger one.
With those round cassettes of his?
Yeah, how was that?
Oh, my God, those are pretty. God, those are gorgeous. I can't wait to get that toy.
And I had two different things. Like, is Ratbat a separate mold from the birds or the... Or is he the same mold as the birds, just purple?
I can't honestly remember.
I heard two different stories from two different people.
I have no idea. I saw the toys too, and I...
Well, you're all useless to me. Get me some new guests. But anyway, it's pretty... I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty exciting, that stuff.
I'm looking forward to what's coming out so far.
I'm looking forward to the inedible Takara Shiny repaint.
Shiny.
Yeah, shiny is always good. No, at this point, it's not shiny. It's stickers.
Yeah, nothing. No
paint. There's no shiny. It's just stickers.
Yeah. All right, Kelly, what is your overall opinion of this year's BotCon?
I really enjoyed it, but I was sitting at a table for 2 days, so I pretty much only got Sunday for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I sold Buggles.
Yes, you sold Buggles.
That is the extent of my experiences this year, and it was amazing because everyone liked the puzzles.
What about, Mariah, did you do the cosplay panel, or did you boycott?
I did do the cosplay panel. I had to.
Did you want to say anything about it, or is it a case of if you ain't got nothing nice to say? if you do, you should, you know, you're the cosplay queen, and... that we have on there. So.
I'm not the cosplay queen. Not in the slightest.
Of our little group, you are.
You're the humble version of a cosplay queen.
The cosplay panel, I honestly, I shouldn't say anything about it because just personally, I think it's utter shit.
Okay.
Her panel specifically.
Okay.
At least we know your feelings.
Yes. Overall, Mariah, how was this year's BotCon?
Just like I said in the beginning, the convention itself is for activities that the convention put on. Freaking boring. Freaking boring as fuck. I was just like, if I didn't have my friends there, I'd be like, this is, I'm gonna go home. Hanging out with my friends, awesome. That is the experience that I look forward to every year, is hanging out with my friends and cosplaying and just having fun with it. They actually had, throughout this entire weekend, if you had been following BotCon or the TFCC or had been looking on TFW or Sabertron, I think they posted it both there, they actually had a cosplay contest throughout the entire weekend, and they were going to put the winner, they were going to pick three finalists and then put the winner on the cover of the DCC magazine.
Right.
So the three finalists ended up being Animated Swoop, Animated Blitzwing, and then Prime Breakdown, my costume.
Right.
They
couldn't choose which
one.
They
announced all three of them, and as far as I understand, they legitimately couldn't choose a winner between the three of us, which is fantastic because we were all they were really good costumes, all three of us. So they stuck all three of us on the cover. And what they're actually going to end up doing, as far as I understand, because Derek, you talked to them, right?
I talked to Pete about it. Yeah, he said they were going to try to do a some kind of vote through the club.
So yeah,
I'm sure that they're all those guys are all dead right now too. They haven't.
I'm sure
probably haven't thought about it yet. But
they're just now getting back and recuperating, and now trying to get their thoughts together for JoeCon, which is in like a couple of months, right?
Right.
A month, but JoeCon is in June.
Pete doesn't focus on that stuff. He's pretty exclusively belongs to us. I mean, anything that's really good and really transformers-y about the club is a lot of it is thanks to Pete because he's the genuine Transformers fan.
And and then Brian is more the Joe fan.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, anytime if I found any news about that, Mariah, I'll let you know. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says there. Because as far as I know, from what you're telling me is that they're gonna put him on the they're gonna put him in the magazine and then let the fans decide. I'm not sure how they're gonna do that, but that would be cool to try and find a winner between the three of us. I honestly, legitimately thought that the Animated Swoop was gonna beat mine because I thought hers was just
fantastic. There were so many good costumes this year too. There was some.
Speaking of, we mentioned earlier. I'm sorry to cut you off, Derek. We mentioned earlier about kids and costumes. Or whatever else, and I'm surprised that Randall Nigg's son didn't win because Randall made his son an Optimus Prime costume,
and that costume was awesome. I mean, it was like it was beefy and like had all the right parts. It was really good.
That kid was so cute.
I found him. Entered, huh?
No, he did.
He did. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yours was just
there
better.
There was a little 5-year-old little G1 Bumblebee wandering around too.
Oh, that's cool.
He was only in the costume for like maybe a half hour or so. I managed to catch him just once. Because I mean, 5-year-old dude, he's not going to be in a costume for very long.
Yeah.
So Derek, your final verdict on this year's BotCon, yay or nay? Did you like it? And just kind of like a last thought here.
I had a good time. I think I took it a little easier than I have in the past year, so it was a little more. Low key, I woke up a little later. Maybe went to bed a little bit earlier. I had a good time overall. I think it was like I was happy with the toys, but they didn't they weren't amazing enough to overshadow my set from last year. So win-win for me.
I don't think anything will be big enough to overshadow your set.
Well,
I don't think anything will be big enough to overshadow that photo you sent Proto Man when Rodimus came out.
has to sleep.
Yes. So we can... now has a legion of fanboy and fangirls added to the Puggles because, as we've already said in the last hour and 45 minutes, she sold everything except one. Street Star is currently still on eBay. By the time this goes up, he will have probably a day and a half left.
He just doubled to $36.
There you go.
We're gonna have to come up with.
I wonder if I'll hit the fraudulent bidding territory.
No.
Like that one My Little Pony plush where people are bidding $10,000.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to. I think we're gonna have to come up with a name for Kelly's fandom pretty soon.
Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
I'm waiting to see what terrible shenanigans and have me end up on the TF Wiki. Because my goal is to end up on a TF Wiki. I just don't know how the hell that's going to happen, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be something terrible.
Well, I'm sure that they'll put you on there. They'll include you with BotCon 2012 listing whenever that goes up, because they include every kind of artist thing
they already
previous years.
They on the TF Wiki?
Yeah, I think so. I'll have to go back and look. All right, so that's going to do it for the Con Girl episode. I'd like to thank Derek for being our special guest.
Another girl.
Yes, we know.
I'd also just like to congratulate.
Just in case anyone's curious.
I'd also like to congratulate anybody who's made it this far, because you have to have some really bipolar-ass imagination to follow any of this.
Yeah, it's okay.
We should hand out a special prize to anyone who made it through.
And, of course, Callie, who is the Puggle goddess, and she is now super famous even more than she already was. And Mirai, who will be doing another one of these with me after San Diego Comic-Con 2012. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big show.
Oh, and Callie, I think something might have happened. Something went wrong because I don't see a note in my inbox, you know, for my May commissions winnings. I think you might need to send it again.
Uh-oh.
Win.
Okay, so with that, this has been Geekcast Radio's Con Girl, and you said you wanted to go to bed. I'm trying to end the show. Damn it!
Will you guys come visit me if I have a Ben 10 panel at the Comic Con?
Yes, I will.
Sweet.
Damn, Skippy, I will.
Alrighty then. So, thank you for listening to this convoluted mess, and we will see you sometime late July after SDCC.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
You've just listened to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com. where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.